Find the book of Job. Job chapter 23 in the Word of God here tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity to open the Word of God. And as was mentioned, do pray for the couples retreat. And I know there's just a handful of couples, but even in that time, the Lord does want to do a work in those lives. And especially, you know, as pastor's gone, I was praying that it would be a time that he could rest a little bit and come back refreshed and excited about what the Lord has in store here in our church. Job chapter 23. Certain that in life we are going to face trials. It's certain that we're going to face hardships. We're going to face circumstances that we really don't want to find ourselves in. And even though we may strongly desire not to be in them, we have no other choice. And trials and circumstances in life, they're certain to come. And even though we don't want them, we're going to face them at some point. You know, maybe it's a big decision that we have to make. We have no other choice. Or maybe it's an unknown in our life. Have you ever had an unknown where you didn't know what the next step was? Or maybe a relationship with a person and you just, it didn't seem to be like what it ought to be. And you just weren't certain. Or maybe it's a hurt that you're dealing with. Maybe a person that's wronged you, a friend, a family member. I don't know what it may be. But these are the things that all of us have to deal with from time to time in life. And it's certain we can't escape them. There is an entire book of Scripture that deals with this aspect of hurt and suffering and trials of life. It's the book of Job. And in this book, we have some great accounts of how we can deal with the trials of life, how we can handle the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Maybe tonight someone is here and they are in a situation and a circumstance, or you're facing a big decision in your life. Maybe you're at a big crossroad in your life and you're trying to figure out how this all is supposed to work together. Maybe there's something in your mind that you just can't get your hands around. You can't figure out how to work your way through it. And you're here tonight, and I trust that just our few minutes here in God's Word would challenge you and encourage you that there's hope. There's an answer. There's a way we can go about dealing with these kind of things in life. And unfortunately, many Christians fall. They're hurt through these situations that God intends to use to help them. And that's really what I want us to see here tonight in this, as we look a little bit in Job chapter 23. And the truth I want us to focus on here tonight is learning to wait on God. Learning to wait on God. Job had to learn to do that. If we were to spend some time here tonight and look through the account of Job, we'd go chapter after chapter and see just amazing things that he is facing in his life. I mean, Job chapter 1, I was looking at that earlier today. I couldn't imagine facing all that in one day. Could you imagine? All that Job went through in one day, and through the whole entire trial that he was facing, he never did wrong. He was upright. He glorified God. And even though the temptations were all around him to doubt God, to curse God and die, you know, all those temptations were there. He didn't wrong God. He did what was right. And I think specifically here in Job chapter 23 tonight, we can find some simple truths that will help us when we're facing trials in life, when we're facing circumstances, to know how to handle them and really learn to wait on God. And those trials that God brings in our lives are for that purpose, to teach us, to help us learn how to wait on Him, to trust Him through those circumstances. So learning to wait on God. A few lessons here tonight from Job. The first thing is that trials of life should force us to seek Him. Trials of life should force us to seek Him. Look at verse 3 in chapter 23 of Job. Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Job, amidst the trial, and have you ever been weighed down so heavily by a trial in life. And Job here was experiencing that. His soul was just cumbered by this weight of this trial that was in his life. And to Job, it was like, where is God in all of this? I'm facing all of this, and it seems like God isn't even here. And what that did was it forced Job to say, to seek after God, to seek after Him, to search for Him. And where is God? I need Him in this situation. You know, when we are in a trial, that's what we ought to be doing, is seeking God. Isn't it easy to run from the situation? Isn't it our natural tendency to try to find an escape, to try to somehow get out of the thing that God has brought into our life or that He has allowed into our life? We need to be allowing the trial of our life or whatever it is in your life tonight that you are facing to force us to seek Him, to seek God. You know what? He is sovereign. He is in control, and we need to trust Him, and we need to go to Him. We can't run from God. That shouldn't be our desire, to get away from God. No, we need Him. We need to seek Him. We need to try to pursue after Him and find Him so that that situation, that trial we find ourselves in, we can have the strength we need for it. In our own strength, it's very natural for us to seek to escape the trial that we're in. If you're facing here a hardship in your life, in your home, your family, your ministry, someone you're working with, maybe an individual that you've poured a lot of time into, and it's like, what's happening? Everything's falling apart. You know, we can't try to get out of that situation. We need to go to the Lord. That ought to drive us to our knees. It ought to drive us to seeking after the Lord. And these situations we can't handle in our strength. We can't handle them in and of ourselves. God brings them to show us a weakness in our life. He brings them to show us that we need Him. The very thing about these trials, these circumstances that God puts us in, is to show us our need for Him. And that we need His strength. It's foolish for us to try to escape the situation that we find ourselves in. As we see even here in the life of Job, it's easy for us to listen or have the tendency to listen to the lie of the devil. God has these circumstances in our life for our good. He's trying to work us. He's trying to mold us. He's trying to shape our lives. He's trying to root out things that aren't right. And the devil can get in and destroy and use that circumstance to get us to doubt God and not believe Him. You know, this could even come through another Christian. This could come through another family member. And even though maybe they don't even mean it to be wrong, the devil could work through them and get us to doubt God. So trials of life should force us to seek Him. Look there in Job chapter 23 and verse 3. It says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. I would order my cause before Him." This is what Job is thinking. If I could find God, I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which He would answer me and understand what He would say unto me. Will He plead against me with His great power? No, but He would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with Him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I like this picture here. Job, it's like he's searching everywhere and he can't find God in the midst of this trial. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand that I cannot see Him. Friend, the trials of life very often are like a cloud that blocks the sunlight. And even though we know He's there, it's like we can't see Him. We can't see the sun. And these trials in many ways are like the clouds that cover the sun. And even though in our minds we know it's there, we begin to doubt. We begin to question, well, I haven't seen the sun for the last week here or so. And we begin to start thinking that way. And it's like we can't find God. And that's what Job was facing here. He was looking for God. He wanted God's help. He wanted God's strength in this trial. But it was like he couldn't find God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been praying for something? Have you ever been facing something? It's like, God, are you there? Are you still there? Friend, Job learned the lesson that these trials ought to force us to seek after God. Trials are the very thing that God is wanting to use to teach us to wait on Him. If everything that we needed was immediately there, any trial we faced, if immediately it was resolved, we wouldn't be really good at trusting and waiting on the Lord. And God is using these things to teach us, to help us, to show us, to strengthen us in our life. And I trust that tonight, maybe even now already, your perspective on something you're facing is changing. And a Christian that does not see the trials of life, that does not see the circumstances, the hardships, the hurt that comes, the suffering that comes into life from time to time, that does not look and wait on the Lord, becomes an imbalanced Christian and looks at everything from the wrong perspective. And tonight, if you're not seeking God, if you're not waiting on the Lord in the circumstance, in the trial, in the big decision that you have to make, you're going to get the wrong perspective on the situation. You're going to start thinking, oh, this doesn't make sense. You're going to start thinking, how is this supposed to work together? And maybe when we first faced the trial, we said, you know, God can work this together for good. And we had faith in God. But over time, we just began to struggle, and eventually our perspective began to twist and change about that. And I've seen it in Christians' lives and even my own. When I don't wait on the Lord, I become imbalanced. Everything gets out of kilter in the rest of my Christian life. And the same is true in each of our lives. When we aren't waiting on God, when we aren't patiently waiting for Him, when we aren't trusting, when we aren't actively resting in Him, our life gets all out of balance. And little things in life that normally weren't an issue become an issue. And this happens for a believer in a local church. When they aren't waiting on God, when they aren't trusting God through a circumstance, when they aren't trusting their spiritual authority, little things get out of balance. And their life kind of gets uprooted and gets in an upheaval. And God wants these things, these trials, to teach us to wait on Him. Tonight, I no doubt that there's many here tonight that are facing something, and God wants to use that to teach you to wait on Him, to trust Him through that circumstance. Turn over to Psalms chapter 42, would you please? I think we have a neat illustration here of what I've just been speaking about. The psalmist David, all throughout Psalms, we see record of trials or enemies that he was facing that were just seeking to destroy his life. I don't know that maybe any of us here tonight have someone that's after our life. David had that many times. And we have accounts of that. And through those accounts, through those records, he learned to trust God. In Psalm chapter 42, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God." I sense that in Job's life, he thirsted. He wanted God. He was longing for Him. Like that hot summer day, longing for that thirst, that water to quench the thirst. David and Job were thirsting after God. They wanted Him. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Well, they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." David, amidst the trial of his life, the circumstances he found himself in, He learned to wait on God. He learned to seek after Him. He learned that in the midst of that trial, the very thing he needed was God Himself. Why art thou cast down tonight? Why are you weighed down? Hope in God. Hope in the Lord. He's the one that has allowed it into your life. Certainly He will bring you through if you trust in Him. So first of all, trials of life should force us to seek Him. Tonight, is that taking place in your life? In your home? The trials of life, do you handle them in your own strength, or do you seek after God in His strength? Second thing tonight is that the trials of life should strengthen our faith in God. They should force us to seek after God. But you know, as we are seeking after Him, it should strengthen our faith in Him. Go back to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and look at verse 10. We just read those previous verses and it comes to verse 10. It says, "But He knoweth the way that I take." To me, it sounds like Job has faith there. He knows that God is in control. But He knoweth the way that I take. The trials of life should strengthen our faith in God. That's what God is intending to use them for. To build our faith, to booster it and give us that renewed faith in who God is. And trials of life are to strengthen our faith in God. And Job could with confidence say, "He knoweth the way that I take." You know, we must realize that God is in control. The conclusion we have to come to is that God is in control. And even though it may not seem like it at times, it may not seem like God is there, we know that He is in control. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. And all these characteristics of God speak and reveal to us that we can have confidence in Him. We can have a trust in God and wait on Him. He is in control. We have to recognize, understand that God is with me. If we're a believer here tonight, God's presence is, He lives within us. And again, the devil can get in and allow us to doubt and to start questioning and saying, "Does God even care about me? Why would God let this trial into my life? Why would He let me face this?" I think it's a great verse in the Great Commission that, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In Psalm chapter 23, David says, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." In the darkest night, in the darkest, in the deepest point, the lowest point of our trial, we have to know that God is there. And He is. And that He is in control. We also have to recognize that God has a purpose in the trial. God has a purpose in the trial. Look there at verse 10. It says, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." It speaks of the purifying work that these trials bring into our life. God doesn't make mistakes. This trial is not by accident. It's not some mistake that has somehow passed by God and He has not allowed, and He somehow missed it and allowed it without Him knowing about it. No, God has a purpose in the trial. And He, think of the love that He shows and the grace that He allows into our life on our behalf. To think that each one of us in here, He cares individually about. He cares individually for our life, and He will tailor a trial or will allow a trial to come into our life that is specifically fit for our life. And the needs that we have are different than someone else, and the trial that He brings into our life is seeking to help us with those needs. And He's trying to purify, He's trying to make us better. He's trying to bring us forth as gold. And that's what Job realized amidst all his pressure and weight that he was under. He realized that God when he's finished, I'm going to be brought forth as gold. Do you see that tonight? Do you have faith to realize that? That God, you know, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I believe that it's for good. That what you're putting me through, the things that I'm facing, when I come forth, I'll be as gold. And God's just trying to purify. He's trying to bring those things out of our life. Bring those imperfections, those weaknesses in our life. He's trying to expose them and reveal to us our need. The trials of life should strengthen our faith in God. Have you been turning from God in the trial you're facing right now? Have you been kind of doubting God? Kind of been nonchalant and thinking, you know, I've not really been active in getting into God's Word and seeking after God? Instead, you're allowing the trial to tear you down and to destroy your life. That's not what God wants. He wants the trial of the life in your life that you are facing to bring you forth as gold. I like verses 11 and 12 because I think it really shows that Job was in tune with God in his word. And he was seeking after God through his being in God's word. And for us as Christians, we have the whole Bible. Job didn't have the whole Bible. We have the whole Bible that we can allow to minister to our life and strengthen us and find strength from. But Job, he says that the words of God were were more necessary than his daily food. Look at verse 11 and 12. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Can you say that tonight? Or have you kind of been going your own way in the midst of the trial you're facing? In verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Is that how we treasure God's word tonight? The trial that we're in, do we see God's word as the substance that we need to sustain us, to encourage us? And the words of God, that which we need to get our eyes back on him in the midst of the trial we're in. This is what we need, friend. We need God's word. And praise the Lord for the comfort that it brings and the encouragement that we can find in it. We need God's word in our life. If we're trying to face this trial, handle it our way, and not resorting to God's word and hearing his voice, friend, we're going to come out not how God wants. The trial is going to hurt us. It's going to destroy us. It's going to tear us down when God intends it to bring us forth as gold. I trust tonight that the trial you're facing, the circumstances you're in, and I could give a list, but it still probably wouldn't cover what you're facing tonight. You know what it is. And if you say tonight, well, I'm not really facing any major trial or circumstance, I guarantee it soon you will be. At some point you will be. And you know what? How are you going to respond? How are you going to handle that situation? Is it going to drive you to seek the Lord? Is it going to strengthen your faith? Or are you going to allow it to destroy your life? The very thing that God intends to use, are you going to allow it to hurt you and not allow it to accomplish what God wants? We don't have much time, but in 1 Peter, let's turn over to 1 Peter. This is a great book, great epistle that deals really the whole account, the whole theme of 1 Peter is on the subject of suffering and dealing with the trials and sufferings and the hurts of life that we as Christians will face. And he gives us here in Peter really some neat things to think about in the context in which we're studying here about learning to wait on God. 1 Peter deals with suffering in light of several things that are very important. And I just want to point out a few things. We don't have time to look at many things here. But when we are facing a trial, we see some things here in 1 Peter that we need to look at our trials in light of. Okay? We need to look at our trials in light of these truths here we find in 1 Peter. This book is written really about this matter. First of all, we need to look at it in light of our promised salvation. Friend, if you're a child of God here tonight, your salvation is secure. Nothing can take that away. You're a child of God. You're saved. If you're a child of God, if you're saved here tonight, that's a great confidence that you can have in. Your salvation is secure. And even though you may face the worst of trials in life, nothing can take away that salvation. Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord for that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's waiting up there if you're a child of God. It's reserved in heaven. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We can be kept amidst our trials through the fact that we have a salvation that's secure and that nothing can take that away. So we need to look at our trials in light of our promised salvation. We also need to look at it in light of the sufferings of Christ. When we compare what we are going through with what Christ has suffered, there's no comparison. Christ gave everything. He gave up everything, and He came and suffered on our behalf. Look at verse 11 in 1 Peter chapter 1. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Praise God, He suffered. And as a result of His suffering, all that we get to experience today and in the future because of His suffering. And where we find ourselves in life right now, look at it in light of what Christ suffered for us. That ought to be a source of encouragement itself. Praise God, I don't have to go through as much as Christ went through for me. And just one other thing here that I want us to focus on, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. We need to look at light of our trials in light of the purifying effect that this suffering, this trial is having on our life. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Friend, tonight we need to learn to wait on God. He has a purpose in it all. He has something that He has designed. He has designed that trial, and He is seeking to accomplish something great through it. Tonight, let's not resist it. Let's not stiff arm it. Let's handle it how God wants us to. It ought to drive us to Him. It ought to encourage and strengthen our faith in God. And in light of even these things we've looked at in 1 Peter, our trials really lose significance. And we really see there's not a whole lot that I'm facing. And even if it to humanly seems a lot, which they can, we have Him on our side. We're on God's side. We're on the winning side. And He can give us the strength we need to wait on Him. And if we will patiently wait on the Lord amidst our trials, like we see in Job, we'll come forth as gold. We'll come forth more acceptable in God's sight. And tonight I trust that, you know, this simple truth would change your life. And because it's something that we're going to face all the time, the rest of our life, we're going to experience hurt, we're going to experience suffering, we're going to experience trials, hardships, hurt. And God intends for those things to purify us, to draw us closer to Him. And I trust that tonight that work will be accomplished in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the example of Job. And we do pray that our lives would, that the trials we are facing would drive us to seek after You. Lord, You're all that we need. You have everything. And in You we are complete. We have all that we need. And tonight, Lord, may our attention be taken off of the circumstances and the trials, and may our eyes be put on you. Lord, may we see your divine hand amidst the trials and circumstances of life. Though humanly they may seem uncomfortable, unneeded, Lord, we know and we can rest in the fact that you are sovereign, that you're in control, and that you have a purpose and a plan that you are seeking to accomplish. Tonight, Lord, I know there's someone, and maybe many, that are facing trials, and Lord, they need to be driven to you. They need to seek and find you in the midst of this trial. And Lord, I trust that it would have a strengthening effect in their life. And Lord, we just pray that you would do a work in our church and use this simple truth, Lord, but a very, very significant truth to change our lives and our perspective on the things that we're struggling through right now. We pray for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this time.